Today, Shi'as Masechta Nida Dav Tezvav. We will begin on your Dalar Mabeis, three lines from the bottom, Meisrei. We had learned in the previous Daf that the Mishnah spoke about three different phases after women having relations and what the halacha of those three times are. One is if it was discovered immediately after the Biyah, that the halacha is that they're both Tamei and they both have to bring a Karm Chattas. Then we spoke about the second phase, where the halacha is that they're tamei misafik, and they don't bring a karban chatas, a discussion if they have to bring an ashim talui. And then there was a third period, where we have a machlokes to Chachamim Rabbi Akiva. The Chachamim say that he will be tahar. We'll speak about the Chachamim more in a moment. And Rabbi Akiva says that both the man and the wife, husband and wife, will be tamei. So the Gemara then brought down two opinions, Machlokes Rav Chisda and Rav Ashi, what is considered the second phase and what is considered the third phase. According to Rav Chisda, when the Mishnah speaks about Kadesha Terev Min Amita, that she goes off the bed and examines herself, that's already the third phase where we have a Machlokes of Rav Kiva and the Chachamim. Rav Ashi, on the other hand, says it matters. If she has the cloth in her hand, even if she goes down from the bed and examines herself, that is the second phase. If she doesn't have the cloth in her hand, so if she still remains in the bed, it's the second phase. But if she doesn't have the cloth in her hand and also goes down from the bed, that's already the third phase. So that's a brief summary of the previous daf, what's relevant today's shir. Begins the Gemara Meisvei with asking a question on the opinion of Rav Ashi. It says in a Braisa, Eza achaz man, when is it considered the third phase? It says the Gemara, Davaz Ashar Rav Elezer Rav Tzadik Lufnei Chachamim. This was a question that was posed by Rav Elezer Rav Tzadik to the Chachamim, Be'usha, V'amulhem Shemekir Rav Akiva Atem Oimrim, Shemetama Esba'ala, by not being able to respond. The original thought was that the Chachamim not being able to respond meant because the Chachamim didn't say, it doesn't make a difference if it's the second phase or the third phase. And they're following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, who, as we just described, doesn't make a difference between those two phases, which implied in the Gemara is a difficult position. Because why would we passing like Rabbi Kiva, who's the Yachid, versus passing like the Chachamim, who are the Rabbim? Amlam, lo shemanu. So they said we haven't heard. It's not that we pass like Rabbi Kiva. We just don't know how to differentiate between the second phase and the third phase. Amlam. So he told them, kach persha chacham b'yavna. The chacham in Yavna gave us an explanation. Lo shasa k'tei sh'teir min amita v'tidiyach spaneo. If there wasn't enough time for her to go down from the bed and examine herself, Toichsman, that's Toichsman who's there. But Tamei Misafik, that is considered in the second phase. And therefore, the halacha is that both the husband and the wife are Tamei, or Betorim in a carbon, and they potter from a carbon chatos, because they can't be certain that there was a Be'ilas Nida. However, Chayavim Ba'ashim Tolu, as I said at the beginning of the Shir, not everybody agrees that during the second phase, everybody agrees that during the second phase there wouldn't be a carbon chatos, but not everybody agrees there would be a chiv oshem tali. This brisa clearly holds that there would be a chiv oshem tali. But continues the brisa, shasa kadesha teir min amita, but if the time lapse was enough time for her to go off the bed, the tidich spinea, and examine herself, achaz man huza. That is considered already the third phase. V'kein, kishashasa meisel eis, if she hasn't done an examination in the last 24 hours, umi b'kida l'b'kida, or since the last examination, as we spoke at the beginning of the Masechta, v'yala matama m'shamaga, the husband who had relations with her will be considered tamei because he touched Anida, v'yana matama m'shamboil. And as the Rishonim explained, why do the Chachamim take this lenient approach towards the husband? Because as we've been learning, This is the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara. We've been learning that the real issue in retroactive tumah is an issue of taharis. And furthermore, we don't want to create a situation that the husband should not want to have beer with his wife, because he knows that what happened one time by being boiled his wife, he became tameh retroactively, and the women will not have beer. So that's why the Chacham take a lenient approach towards him. Rekiva Omer, af tam mishaboil. Rekiva, true to his position, says that even during the third phase, you are tameh as a boil nida. Rabbi Yehuda ben Yosef Yochanan ben Zakkai is most lenient. Omer, not only is the husband not considered tameh, but nechnas lahechlo makdek tairis. He could even go into the base of Migdosh and do the avoid. We'll speak about Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in a moment. Now, what does it say here? The Braisa clearly indicates that even in the time that it takes to get off, the bed, it's considered tameh. So Gemara says, "Bishlam rechizda hanim tari rabbanon." Because according to the rabbanon, according to Chizda's interpretation, as soon as you have to get off the bed, it's considered the third phase, and during the third phase, the rabbanon hold you tahor. El Rav Ashi, but according to Rav Ashi, just because there was enough time for her to get off the bed, that doesn't put her into the third phase. Because hasn't Rav Ashi said that if she's holding the cloth in her hands, even though she had to get off the bed, she's still in the second phase? So ask the Gemara, according to Rav Ashi, why is the Braisa say that if she got off the bed, it puts her into the third phase, which is the time that there's a machloikis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanon, a maimatari Rabbanon. According to Rav Ashi, you could still be in the second phase even if you got off the bed. Says the Gemara, the obvious teretz. When did Rav Ashi say that you're still in the second phase even though you got off the bed? Strictly when you're not holding the cloth. But here when you're holding the cloth, you are, but if you're not holding the cloth, even Rav Ashi will agree that you're in the third phase. And that's what the Gemara says. So ask the Gemara, maybe the Braisa can be consistent even with Rav Ashi's opinion, but it's referring to situation, v'chitem de'enei b'yoda. And there Rav Ashi will agree that if she's getting off the bed and not holding the cloth, it puts her into the third phase, which is the subject of machloikis. Ask the Gemara, hi'eid b'yoda v'eim b'yoda b'yoda. If that is indeed what the Braisa meant, the Braisa should have said it. And as the Rishonim help us understand the Gemara's question, they say, if this is the way to interpret the Braisa, there's a very fundamental difference between the Braisa and the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah is speaking about a case where she's holding the cloth, and that's why Rav Ashi says she's in the second phase, where we have no machlokes. And the Braisa is speaking about a case where she's not holding the cloth, and that's why it's the third phase, where you have machlokes of Akiva Rabbanan. But if that is indeed the situation, so why doesn't the Gemara say it? What is the Mishnah? If the Braisa is speaking about one case, and the Mishnah is speaking about the other case, so typically Mishnayis and Braisas complement each other. But this is the fundamental difference. Why is it ignored? To make the kasha geshmaka, is if we only had a Mishnah alone, so the Mishnah didn't go into that detail. If we only had a Braisa, we could say the Braisa didn't go into detail. But now that we have a Mishnah and Braisa that are complementing each other, they should give us the whole picture. So the Gemara indeed kasha. So it's very interesting. Many times in our shiurim, we've quoted the Rashbam in Masechta Baba Basra, that the Rashbam says there's a difference if the Gemara uses the word kasha, or if the Gemara uses the word tiyufta. When the Gemara uses the word tiyufta, there's no answer to the question. When the Gemara uses the word kasha, that means it's a kasha, but there's a teretz. And this is a primary example of such a situation. Why? Because if we look in the Torah paskens like Rav Ashi. So now we have a very big question. If the Gemara indeed meant with the word kasha, that Rav Ashi's opinion is refuted based on the question that we just learned, so how does the Torah go paskin like Rav Ashi if his opinion is refuted? It must be, since the Gemara only used the word kasha, that doesn't mean he was totally refuted. And therefore the Torah could still paskin like Rav Ashi. But that doesn't answer. What is the answer to the kasha? So I saw a number of terutz. One terutz is that the Gemara will hold that even though the Brice and the Mishnah should have mentioned this detail, they missed it, but that doesn't mean it's an absolute refutation. Another terutz that I saw, because we keep on speaking about a bedikah here of tekanaches paner, just wiping. As we've learned many times, that is really not a valid bedikah. Because what is considered a bedikah? A bedikah has to be b'churim for stokim. That time, everybody will agree, is the third phase. And therefore, when we speak about tekanaches paner, it's irrelevant because that isn't considered a halachically valid bedikah. So we just learned that Rabbi Yehuda takes a very lenient opinion during the third phase. Rabbi Yehuda ben Yosher, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Omer, Bala nichnas lahechel, not only is he tar, but if he's a kohen, he could go into the hechel and mak the ktiras. I saw from the Sefer Pnei Aryeh, he asks a question. If the point that Yehuda is trying to make is that he's tar, and if he's a kohen, he could even do the avoida, why does he have to go into all of this description, nichnas lahechel, or mak the ktiras? So I saw a very nice, he says a very nice teretz, very much related to something that we learned at the end of Masechta Midos. Nichnas lahechel, the hechel, the azara was Rishus Rabbim. And we know that Sofek Tomei Rishus Rabbim is Tahor. And therefore we could understand why we could be lenient with this man going into the hechel. He's only a Sofek Tomei, as we learned in this Masechta already. Sofek Tomei Rishus Rabbim is Tahor. But as you recall, when we learned Masechta Midos, the Gemara taught us that when a Kohen does the Avoida of Ketoris, no one was in the Beis Hamikdash besides he. So it's a real Rishus HaYochid. And Rishus HaYochid, the Halacha is Safek Tamei. Tells us Rabbi Yehuda, you know how lenient I am? Not only when he's going into the Heichel, which is a Safek Tamei, but Rishus HaRabim will I be lenient, even Mak to Ketoris. When it's a Rishus HaYochid, I'm going to be lenient on his Safek. Ask the Gemara, v'tepikle davenugei ve'esel meis shebenida. Let's think about it. He certainly came in connection with a nida. And we learned at the beginning of the Masechta that it is the opinion of the Chachamim that a woman has a discharge, she's tamei for 24 hours before. So how could we be lenient with this man? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda gom k'shamai, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Shamai, damakol noshim dayin shatan. We only look forward, not backwards, the first mission of our Masechta. But ask the Gemara, this man had relations with his wife. So yes, we have an issue. Was she nida when he had the relations? Was she not? But the halach is that if a man has a discharge of semen, if a man has a discharge of semen, he becomes a balkeri. And the halach is that a balkeri is tamei. He has to go to the mikveh and wait for night. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say, ask the Gemara, that he could go to the Beis HaMikdash and do the avoida? Maybe he didn't have any connection to a nida, but he's a balkeri for sure. But typically, they have a balkeri. Answers the Gemara, b'shloi goma b'yosai. So the way the Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows. He didn't have any discharge of zera. So he's not a balkeri. I boil nida. He wasn't goma b'ya. So what's the Gemara saying? So the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows. A person could become tummy for through being a balkeri in one of two ways. Either he could have a discharge of zera. If he has a discharge of zera, he's a balkeri. He has to go to the mikveh. He has to have hevshemesh. No matter under what circumstances that discharge took place. And that is another halacha. The other halacha is that he has to, if he has a gmar bia, even if he didn't have a discharge, he'll be tamei also. But here he didn't have a gmar bia. So that's why, not a gmar bia, and not a discharge, he only had a raw. So as far as Hilchas Boil Nida are concerned, will she a Nida, it's enough to be made just a raw initial contact to be over for Boil Nida. For Balkeri, you have to have either a discharge or a Gemar Bia. We learned further in the Mishnah, however, the Chacham agree with Rekiva when a woman saw a stain on her underwear, on linen, that the halacha is that she's tamei. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Omer Rav, where Rav means is l'mafreya, that even though we just finished learning, that it is the opinion of Chachamim, that in the case that we're learning, she only becomes tamei moving forward, not backwards. By a kesem, we're going to be machmer, because it represents the Racham and Mishnah agree with Rameyi, who we learned earlier in Amasechta. The Rameyi holds that even though the Mishnah says there are benoshim, there are four women, that everybody agrees, dying shatan, they only become tummy moving forward, not backwards. Absula, Zakena, Menekes, and Muberes. But Rameyi says on Kesem, we're going to be Machmer. So we see that Rameyi takes a very strict view towards Ksamim, and the Gemara is going to explain in a moment why we should take such a strict view. Here too, the Rabbanan of our Mishnah agree with Rameyer, and even though they hold that Aria shall only be Tamei moving forward, not backwards, by Kesem was stricter. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says no. When the Mishnah says that the Maida, it's only talking about a Kesem is Tamei Mekana Laba, only moving forward, not retroactively, because our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbanan. And the Gemara, of course he'll be tummy moving forward. There's a kesem, so she obviously was tummy, because as the Rishonim explained, we're speaking here where there's no way of saying that this kesem came from a different source of blood. Answered the Gemara, no, the Mishnah had to teach us this din. Because Madata, even according to the Rabbanan, that said that they're tummy forward, not backwards. Because Madata, Mahoyom Eisel Eis, the Rabbanan. The entire din of Me'es La'es is only a din de Rabbanan. The Ksamim, and the din of Ksamim is a din de Rabbanan. Ma Me'es La'es, just like when we speak about Me'es La'es, Lo Metames by Allah, as we just finished saying, the Rabbanan's opinion is that during this third stage, the husband doesn't become Tameh. Af Ksamim, which are also a Tumad Rabbanan, because as we always say, Ksamim don't represent a Ri with a Hargosha. And the only time there's Tumad arises with a Ri with a Hargosha. Loi Matamis Bala. The halacha is that she not be Matamid a husband at all, since it's only a Kesem. Kamash Malan. Ask the Gemara, you've made a strong argument why we ought to be lenient. Subnei Hachnami. Maybe we should be lenient. Since the entire din of Ksamim is only the Rabbanan, maybe we indeed ought to be lenient. Answers the Gemara, Hasam ein shar shachar lefenecha, hachi yeh shar shachar lefenecha. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, it's interesting, Rashi and Ritva have diametrically opposing interpretation of this Gemara. Rashi explains the Gemara as follows. By a kesem, we have an issue in front of us. There's a kesem. And as I said a moment ago, we know it didn't come from a different source, so it obviously came from the woman. That's why we have to be stricter. By a riyah, yes, she had a Riyah, but we don't have to say that the Riyah happened before. We could say that the Riyah happened afterwards. And therefore, we could be more lenient. So again, according to Rashi, Hasam, by a Riyah, ain't shar shach lefenecha. There is nothing in front of you that causes an issue. Hachi yeh shar shach lefenecha. The Ritva, as I said, explains the Gemara just the opposite. Hasam, by Ksamim, ain't shar shach lefenecha. There is no cheskes tara to rely on. Hacha, by a riya, yeh shar shach lefenecha, we have a cheskes tara to rely on. V'kein am Rish Lakish, and so indeed the Rish Lakish say, in interpreting our Mishnah, that our Mishnah, when it says that chama moide by ksamim, is talking about tumal mafreya, because it represents the opinion of Rameyihi, who takes a strict view towards ksamim. Rabbi Yochanan interprets the Mishnah, mikana lahaba, not l'mafreya, because Rabbi Yochanan said the Mishnah following the opinion of the Rabbanan in their dispute about Ksamim. Says the Mishnah, kol anoshim b'cheskes tara. All women have a cheskes tara l'baleyem. Haboy min aderech. A husband that comes home, neshem lem b'cheskes tara. If he left his wife with as tar, she could continue. Again, the Rishonim point out that this Mishnah is not speaking about a woman who's a suka b'taharis, because as we've learned previously, a woman who's a suka b'taharis, the halacha is, does have to make the bedikas. The Rishonim already discuss, why does our Mishnah have to go through this entire issue? Mishnah should say, kol anoshim b'cheskes tara, what does it say, aboyim min aderech? So one teretz, which will become clear as we learn the sugya, is that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that even though the husband was away, he doesn't have to ask under certain circumstances, he could just add biya. That's one approach. Another approach is a very interesting approach. We're going to Mitzvah Shem still learn that when a chas and kala get married, there's a concern for dam chimud, that the anxiety, I guess you could say, of the upcoming wedding causes a woman to have dam chimud, and the Gemara will discuss what is the status of dam chimud. So one would think that that halacha is not limited to a chas and a kala. The Mishnah doesn't speak about a time frame, how long the husband's been away. And therefore we would think that if the husband was away for a long time, and now Baruch Hashem is coming home, so that should create dam chimud with all of the intending issues. Teaches us the Mishnah Boim and Aderach, the din of dam chimud is limited to chas and kala, not to anyone else. Ask the Gemara, lamalim lamisnah boim and aderach, why do we have to speak about it? Sakadat chamina, because one we would think, hanimila hechad is v'masa the ramya nav shabatka. And as the Mefarshim explained, when he's in town, she pays attention. Not to say that bedikah is required, because we said in our Mishnah already that we're not speaking about a woman who's a suk b'taris. But she's paying attention because she has a husband at home and they're going to have relations and she has to know her status. In a situation where her husband's not in town, she's not really paying attention anyway because her husband's not home and she's not a suk b'taharis. And therefore she really maybe doesn't know her status as far as tum and tahara. Says the Gemara, Amar Shlokesh Shem Rav Yehuda Nasiya, V'hu Shematz B'taychim Menayim Nasam. Our Mishnah says that the husband comes home from a trip, he could assume his wife is tahar. Says the Mishnah, when can he make, says Rav Huna, when, says Rav Shlokish, sorry, when can he make that assumption? He can only make that assumption if he came home before 30 days. As we learned, an oina beinanis is 30 days. So if the husband came home within 30 days, we could be confident that the woman did not have a riyah and he could have relations with her. Oina beinanis, as I just said, machloikis hapoiskim, how long is an oina beinanis? Some poiskim say that oina beinanis is 30 days. There's a chavastas that says oina beinanis is 31 days. And others say that oina beinanis is the day of the month. Whatever day this month she saw, next month, that's her oina beinanis. Furthermore, many poiskim hold that even though when we speak about an oina throughout this mesech, that we speak about a 12-hour period, when we speak about an oina beinanis, it's a 24-hour period. We don't look if her last riyah was by day or by night, it's that entire yom lamed, or yom lamed aleph, or yom achodesh. So if he was gone for more than 30 days, then you can't be mekel anymore, says Rish Lakish. Amar Rav Huna, continues the Gemara, lo yishan ala she'en leveset. When do we say this? Only by a woman who doesn't have a veset. Avi yesh leveset, if the woman has a veset, also l'shamish. So, there's a very big machloikis rishonim, very relevant lahalocha, how to understand what Rav Huna says. There are rishonim that say Rav Huna is addressing Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish spoke about the oina beinanis. Now Rav Huna adds to it, that if the woman has a veset kavua, we have to take that into consideration. But now the question is, when you have a woman who has a veset kavua, does she have to also be concerned for her oina beinanis? Or, no, she has a veset kavua, she don't have to be worried about her oina beinanis. There are three opinions in the Rishonim. One opinion is that oina beinanis is only by a woman that doesn't have a veset kavua. Another opinion is that oina beinanis applies to all women. A third opinion is a very interesting opinion. This is Machlokes Rishonim. When it makes a difference, as we just said, oina beinanis is day 30. So if a woman has a veset kavua, let's say for day 25, and day 25 passed, so then she has the whole day 30. Because if day 25 passed with nothing happening, she has to be choshish for oina beinanis. If on the other hand, let's say her woman has a veset kavua for day 35, so there's no point in looking at day 30, it's before a veset kavua. It really depends, the poskim say, on how we understand oina beinanis. Is the oina beinanis an oina that all women have? So it doesn't make a difference if she has a veset kavua or not. Is an oina beinanis pshat that we assume it's going to come? So we only make that assumption if there's a reason to make that assumption. Or is pshat that no, an oina beinanis is that every woman has to have a veset. So if she doesn't have a veset kavua, we assign her oina beinanis. But this woman who has a veset kavua, there's no reason to assign her the oina beinanis. But what is Rav Huna saying, asked the Gemara, that we take a stricter approach to a woman who has a veset kavua than to a woman that doesn't have a veset kavua? Ask the Gemara, klap alaya. It doesn't make sense. I saw a very nice pshat, the Sharm Tzion Balocha quotes the Oruch. Klap alaya is another way of saying the alu, the tail. You have the tail in front of the head. You got it all mixed up. Adirab, Evchem Stabra, Ela Veset, if the woman doesn't have a Veset Kavua, Eima Chazoi. So we always have to be concerned that maybe she began to menstruate. Yesh Le Veset Kavua, but if she has a Veset Kavua, we have no reason to be Machmer. Ela Yetmer, says the Gemara, this is the way to understand. Hach Yetmer. Amrafuna, Loishan, Elish Loigi, Shas Vesta. When do we have to, when can our Mishnah teach us that we could be lenient? Only if the time of a Veset Kavua has not yet come. So therefore, we could assume that she didn't become Tameh yet. Avol, Higiyah Shas Vesta. Once the time of a Veset comes, there, Asura, we have to take a stricter opinion. Why, explains the Gemara? It's obvious because he holds Vestas Daraisa. And since we hold Vestas Daraisa, so once the Veset passed, we have to assume that she had a Riyah, and the husband cannot have relations with her until he can be 100% sure that she's Tahor. Rabbi Bachana Amma, Afili Gishas Vesta, Rabbi Bachana is much more lenient. He says, even if the Vast Vesta came, Nami Materis, we don't need to be worried. Why? Because he holds Vestas Rabbanan. So to explain the Machloikas of Vestas the Raisa, Vestas the Rabbanan, we'll wait for tomorrow's Shir. But the Rishonim ask, even if the Vestas are only the Rabbanan, but a Vestas has a place in Halacha, so how is our Gemara saying, because Rabbi Bachana holds the Vestas Rabbanon, so even if she has a Vestas Kavua, the husband can have relations with her. A Vestas Kavua, at least with Rabbanon we have to be choshed for. How is he taking that approach that he's so lenient? So one teretz that I saw is that Rabbi Bachana holds the Vestas Rabbanon only in terms of when he's home, he's not allowed to have relations with her when she has a Vestas. That's all the Vestas represent. That's one pshat I saw. Another pshat, going back to something, to a number of pshatim that we've been learning. One of them, we're speaking here about a woman who's sleeping. And as we learned in previous shiurim, a woman who's sleeping, Chazal took a much more lenient approach. Another explanation is that the woman there was tviya. He wants to have relations with her. And we learned that tviya is considered like a bedika. And another teretz, again, this is all beautiful summary of many of the halachos that we learned. Let's remember, there was no riyah with a hargosha. And as we've discussed so many times in our shiurim, a riyah without a hargosha is not a riyah. It's not tamei. And therefore, coupled with the fact that Vestas Rabbanon, Rabbi Bachana takes a lenient approach. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi Masnei Hachri. Rav Ashi has a different version of this entire discussion. Amrav Huna, Loi Shanel and Shein Vestas L'yamim. When are we lenient only in a situation when she has no Vesed L'yamim? El yesh le yesed L'yam L'kvitzes. As we learned the other day, there are women that have a Vesed which is a combination of time and an act. Kivin de Mamasa Talya Milsa. So here her Vesed is connected to a specific act, her jumping. Ama le'kofetz le'chazoy. That's where we could be lenient. And if he comes home, we could let him have relations with her. Assume that she's Tahar. Aval. Yesh le vesed l'yamim. But if she has a vesed that just connected to a certain date, also l'shamish, she may not have relations. Why? Because kusav vesed l'raisa. And therefore we have to be concerned that the vesed came and she became tamei. It's very interesting to note, when we learned the other day, the halacha of this vesed, which is called a vesed amurkav, a combination of days and an act, we spent time in differentiating between what's called a Veser HaMaisa and a Veser HaGuf. We explained, Veser Oynis. Jumping is called a Veser Oynis. Veser HaGuf is some sort of physical feeling like a cramp. Say to Paiskim, that is only in that Gemara. In this Gemara, there are many Paiskim that take the approach, as soon as there's more than one factor, not just a date, that causes her Veset, we can always say that maybe that symptom did not come, and that's why the Mishnah is lenient. But if it's only based on a day, then we have to say Vestas Daraisa, and we have to be Machmer. And Rabbi Bachana, true to his Shita, Amafil Yeshla Yevesed L'yamim, even if she just has a Vesed, which is connected to a day, is lenient, as we just finished explaining, because Rabbi Bachana's opinion is Vestas Darabonim. Says the Gemara, Amra Shmu Mishmeid Reb Yochanan, Isha Yesh Leveset, if a woman has a veset, Bala Mechashev, you may vest a bala. So he's saying a new din altogether. He's saying, let's say a man was away. So let's say this woman has a vested kavua for day 30. And he also knows that after day 30, it takes her typically 5 days to become tahor, and then another zayin days, another 7 days for the seven nekiyim. So it takes her 42 days to become tahor. She sees on day 30, 5 days of the riyah, 7 days of the tahor is 42. So if he comes home on day 42, he's fine. After day 42, he's fine. So all the rishonim make the point. From here, it's very clear that even though the husband was out of town, the women would go to the mikveh. Because otherwise, what's the Gemara saying? So many rishonim, the Meiri quotes a Yerushalmi, that says, yes, from here we see that the halacha is that a woman, even if her husband's not here, should go to the mikveh. And therefore, in the case that I just described, we could assume that she's tahor. But it's interesting to note that many poskim disagree. The Zohar speaks very strongly about a woman not going to the mikveh if she can't have relations with her husband after she goes to the mikveh, and she should wait to go to the mikveh until she can have relations with her husband. And the Shvus Yaakov indeed passes that way. But as all the Mefarshim ask, what is the Shvus Yaakov going to do with this Gemara? Shot in this Gemara is very clear that a woman is supposed to go to the mikveh as soon as she has the opportunity to go. And that's why the husband can have relations with her without any question. So of course, the simple teretz is, as we've been saying in our shiurim, there's a difference between a woman who's a suk b'taharis. So there's a point in her going to the mikveh, even not related to having relations with her husband. In our world, where the entire point of going to the mikveh is to be able to have relations with her husband, so if her husband's not here, she shouldn't go to the mikveh. Another way of explaining the machlaikas is we're going to Mitzvah Shem still learn. There's a question if tefillah b'zman a mitzvah, tefillah b'zman a lav mitzvah. If going to the mikveh in the proper time is a mitzvah or not. Our Gemara is following the opinion of tefillah b'zman a mitzvah. There's an independent mitzvah to go to the mikveh, even if you're not going to have relations with your husband. But we paskin tefillah b'zman a lav mitzvah. And therefore, since we paskin tefillah b'zman a lav mitzvah, there's no point in going to the mikveh if you're not going to be able to have relations. However, I did see some of the contemporary poskim expound on this. Rav Ozna, the Shalos HaTshuva Shevet HaLevi, says, when is the halacha that a woman shouldn't go to the mikveh if her husband's not going to be here? It's only, he says, when she knows that the husband's not going to be here. He traveled out of town, she knows he's not here. But what will be the halacha if she doesn't know? He may be coming home or not, then she should go to the mikveh. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, in the Sefer Chashuchi Chemed, discusses another situation. He says, what happens, Rechmana Litzlan, a woman's husband is in the hospital, and there's no way he could have relations with his wife. He's nebuch in the hospital. Should she go to the mikveh or not? She says, absolutely she should go to the mikveh. Because even though, unfortunately, they can't have relations, he's nebuch sick, but still, you want her to be able to touch him. And all those things are also when she's a nida. And certainly, under those circumstances, even though they can't have relations, she should go to the mikveh. Amalei Rav Shmuel bar Yevel Rav Zeira Abba. Amar Rav Yochanan, Afil Yalda. And here we have a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to explain Afil Yalda. The Bizzle Mitbal. So Rashi explains that a Yalda means a young girl. And Rashi says young girls typically did not like to go to the mikveh. They needed their husbands to urge them to go to the mikveh. So says the Gemara, even a young girl whose husband was out of town, wasn't here to urge it to go to the mikveh, we could allow, if it's past the time that she was tamei and tar, he could have relations with her. We could assume that she went to the mikveh. Tosfos has a different explanation. Tosfos says, yalda here means a yeledes. That we know, we've spoken, and we will speak many times still, Mitzvah Shem, that the Torah Kedoshim Parashas Tazria teaches us that when a woman has a boy, she's tamei 7 days no matter what. When she has a girl, she's tamei 14 days no matter what. And the Torah HaKadosh is teaching us, and the Gemara is teaching us, usually these women aren't anxious to go to the mikveh so soon after having a child, a week or 2 weeks, we could assume she went to the mikveh. Amalei, why indeed are we lenient? So the Gemara, Otavadi Rasa, we can't be sure that she saw. And there's a number of sfeikas. Mi Amar, Did he say that for sure she's an Ida? When did he take this lenient approach? First of all, we don't know if she ever had a Riyah. Vintim Tzloimi Rasa, Aimatavla. Aval Vadi Rasa, in a situation where we know that the woman was certainly an Ida, Havle Sufik, Vada Uvada, she certainly was Tamei. It's a Sufik because she's Tar, and there Allah will be Vain Sufik much Day Vada. So what the Gemara is saying here is that where we have a Sfek Sfeika, first of all, we don't know if she was Tamei. And even if she was Tamei, maybe she went to the mikveh, we could be lenient. But in a situation where we can't be sure, well, we know she was Tamei, but we don't know if she became Tar, then she's not Mutter unless we're 100% certain. So I saw that the Shav Shmaitz asks the question. Yes, as we just explained, we have here a situation of a Sfek Sfeika. But why are we lenient? It's a Sfek Sfeika that we could be Mavara. Ask her. He asks, when are we lenient with a Sfek Sfeika? When we have a Suffolk and we have no way of knowing for sure what happened. But here we have an easy way. Ask her. So why, just because it's a Sfek Sfeika, could we be lenient? So one approach he takes is that we see here a very bechidish, that Sfek Sfeika, we could even be makel by a Sfek Sfeika, we could even be makel by a Sfek Sfeika that we could be mevarim. Others explain that the reason we could be more lenient by this Sfek Sfeika, going back to a concept that we've discussed so many times, Baruch Hashem, because she has a Cheskas Tara. And since she has a Cheskas Tara, we could be more lenient. A third approach is that we're going to have to say that the Gemara is referring here to a woman who's sleeping. And as we've quoted today and we learned previously, Chazal were more lenient with a sleeping woman. So it's not considered Efshel Levruei, because Chazal don't want her to be woken up. And that's why, even though it's a Sfek Sfeika that we could be Mavarer, we're going to take a stricter opinion. Ask the Gemara, V'loi, is this a true statement that ain't Sofik Moitz Midei Vadai? So as all the Rishonim explained the Gemara, certainly the Halach is ain't Sofik Moitz Midei Vadai. The Gemara's question is, do we always apply that concept? Or maybe even if something is a Sofik, but if there's a good possibility, we follow the Sufik. And the Gemara gives us a number of examples. Hatanya Chavish Meis. We know a Chavir always means an individual who's scrupulous in Trumas HaMaisris. I saw a beautiful verse from the Pnei Menachem. Why are such people called Chavirim? Because their friendship is a true friendship. And he says a beautiful pshat. He says, Zvulun and Yisaschar are an example of a great friendship. Zvulun means his home. Where was Zvulun's home? He was always careful to have his home, as we learned in Parashas Nosoi, that's why they're counted together, next to Yisaschar. That is called a Chaver. Zvul, Chaver Shemes, if a Chaver died, v'niach megura melei peres, and he left a silo full of fruit. Many Rishonim explain that it's not fruit, because there's no chi of Trumas HaMaisis by fruit, it means grain. I feel him in a yomim, even if they just processed today. Harein b'cheskas musukonim. We could assume that their trumas and maisis were removed. So Mefarshim asked, why is this a problem? The issa tevel is not an issa deraisa. So the answer, when is there no issa from hanoah from tevel medaraisa? That's only if you're not eating it up. But here, if you're going to eat it, it's osa medaraisa. So ask the Gemara. The Gemara makes its point. V'hocha, vade tevel. It's certainly tevel. Sofik mosu, sofik enimosu. We're not sure if maisa was taken off. The ka'asa sofik or maisa v'devadai. Yet the fact that we assume that he took off maisa, which is only a sofik, allows us to be lenient. The Me'iri quotes Yerushalmi that even this braisa, which is lenient with a chaver, is only lenient if he didn't die suddenly. But if he died suddenly, then we taka have to be concerned that maybe, because if he didn't die suddenly and his fruit wasn't masukin, he would have told his family. Other Rishonim, however, say that the fact that our Gemara doesn't make this distinction means that we can always be lenient. But again, why? It's a suffik. They ain't suffik moitz midei vadai. Answers the Gemara, hasam vadai vadihu. It's a vadai. Kirav chanina chazor, damar chanina chazor, chazok al chavish enim moitz mitachas yod adavish enim masukin. So as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, they explain what the Gemara is saying here is, we assume that it's a Sufik. Yes, as I said a moment ago, it's a strong Suffolk in one direction. But it's still a Suffolk versus a Vaday. Answers the Gemara, it's not a Suffolk. The Chazaka that a Chavar takes off Trumas and Maisris is a Vaday. And that's why we could be lenient. Ibai Seima, Suffolk for Suffolk. It's not a Suffolk and a Vaday, it's a Suffolk and a Suffolk. Ukur Rav Oshie, as Rav Oshie has taught us. Dom Rav Oshie, Mara Odom Atvusoi. A person has a way to avoid taking off Trumas and Maisris. Machnisa Rebeis Mochlo, he could bring it into his house before it was fully processed. In order that he shouldn't be mechuyav to take off ma'aser. Because the halacha is, the way the Rishonim explained, the chiv of taking off trumas and ma'aseris is only if before you brought it into the house, it was completely processed. But if you brought it to the house before it was completely processed, that won't be mechuyav in trumas and ma'aseris. So we have here a suffix if there's a chiv of trumas and ma'aseris, and therefore it's a suffix and a suffix. That's why we could be lenient. So again, the Mefarshim help us understand the Gemara. Firstly, they ask, the Sfasemis discusses this, why would a person, how can we assume that this person is, we're talking about a Chavah here. The Chavah is trying to get out of the midst of Truma and Maaser. So he answers, what the Gemara means is that you could take it into your house, and before you took off Truma and Maaser, but that doesn't take away the Chiv. The Chiv you could still do afterwards. But the halach is that once it's in the house, you can feed it to animals. Furthermore, there's a machloikus rishonim. If when the Gemara here says that you took the fruit into your home, the produce into your home, before it was complete, the halach is you could give it to an animal. Why can you give it to an animal? Because any feeding of an animal is achilas aroi. What would be the halach about a person eating it? Is the isser a person eating it only in isser derabanan? Was the issa of a person eating it even in issa deraisa? Or, that's machlokes rishonim. From the Gemara it seems that only animals could eat it. But the Gemara is not clear if it's midirab, what is the status of a person. And furthermore, obviously, the reason we could be more lenient here is because we're speaking about a chavar. So since the chavar anyway, as we learned a moment ago, we're more lenient. So given the concept that we're more lenient with a chavar in the first place, plus the entire chiv may only be a chiv derabanan, that's what the Gemara says we could be more lenient. And again, the Mefarshim explained what's the difference between this teretz and the previous teretz. The previous teretz is even usable. The concept of ein chav moitz b'dei vaday even takes care of a chiv, trumas and maisris, deraisa. This teretz will tell us that it's only by chiv derabanan. There's a very interesting tshuva from the Carol of David. He says the entire concept of Sofik Drabonon Lahakal is based on this Gemara. The chi of making a bracha Drabonon is only a Drabonon. The chi, if you have a Sofik, if you made a bracha on that, so our Gemara is saying that since it's a Drabonon, we could be more lenient by Sfakis, that's why by all brachas we're more lenient, and that's why by Brichas HaMazon we're not lenient, because the chi of Brichas HaMazon, if you ate a whole meal, is a chi of Deraisa.